Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This is part of the first ever Sounds of Christmas podcast countdown. Through the end of October, I'll be reposting previous episodes, the top 10 most listened to and most downloaded. So yes, it's a rerun. In fact, it's technically the ninth of 10 days of reruns, all leading up to the new season of the Sounds of Christmas station and two brand new podcast episodes, all on November 1st. But I wanted to make sure that that was clear up front. You may have already listened to this episode, and I'm not really adding anything new to it. So if you don't want to hear it again, you should stop listening now. Still here? Well, I tried.
Number two.
Number two.
The second most listened to and most downloaded episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast was released on September 1st, 2022. For this episode, I welcome the back Jerry D from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast and Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast to talk about a couple of top Christmas song lists that really seemed to miss the mark. Those lists were all about 80s Christmas songs, and they seemed to be compiled by people who didn't really listen to either 80s music or Christmas music, let alone 80s Christmas music. So we each came up with our own list of what we thought were the top Christmas songs of the 1980s. As you can probably imagine, I get a lot of Christmas lists sent to me. There are lots of music blogs and magazines online, and there are many more sites that are somewhere in between being a music blog and a magazine. Some are professional, some are by fans, and you can't always tell which is which. Lots of these places post top 10 music lists under lots of different topics, and despite what they may say, none of them are definitive. Nearly all of them are, to one extent or another, driven by the writer's opinion. This all is a preface to the conversation I'm going to have today with Jerry D from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast and Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast. Thank you both for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Now, we're here to talk about a particular list from one of those sites today, and I've decided not to say the name of the site for a couple of reasons. First, I don't want for this to just be a nasty review of their work, especially when they aren't here to defend themselves. And second, I honestly don't know if they're for real or if it's just some friends with a hobby. The list I want to talk about is certainly the result of opinion, but the issue I had with it is more than just opinion. In fact, I sent the list to both of you when I first came upon it in early August, and I think that you had similar reactions to what I had, didn't you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. There was a lot. There was like, what? Why would you pick that one?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the list that I'm talking about is called the Top 10 Christmas Songs from the 80s. This is not based on airplay or sales. It's simply preference. And the creator or creators of this list are certainly entitled to their preferences, but I had a couple issues with their choices and thought it would be a good topic for conversation. And as I was working on scheduling the recording of this podcast, I came across two more lists from this same site. I found it intriguing since all three of these Christmas music lists were posted in August of 2022. And I also found that I had similar issues with the choices of these two extra lists, and I'd like to surprise you guys with them. It's not a gotcha thing, but I know you don't know about them, right? And a couple of the things that I found problematic, shall we say, with their list, and get your initial reaction to it, and then we'll dig into the 80s. One of the lists was the top 10 Motown Christmas songs. Now, a lot of the artists you'd expect to appear on this list were there. The Temptations, Jackson 5, The Supremes, Stevie Wonder. But then there was this one, Merry Mending by Nina Simone.
I saw that list, and when I saw the Nina Simone song,
I was kind of excited because I didn't think she had done any Christmas music, and I listened to it, and it has nothing to do with Christmas. It has nothing to do with winter. It's a get well soon song.
Yeah. Jerry, do you know this song at all?
No, this is one I don't think I know. And I love Nina Simone, but I don't think I actually have heard this particular one. That's interesting that they would put it on their list. I wonder if they just saw the title and were like, I need another Christmas song, but that's not by Stevie or, you know, the usual. Well, so.
It has a jolly beat.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a happy sounding song. Forget about your pills. Forget about your ills. Forget about the bills. Get up, get out, get well again. Merry mending.
That has nothing to do with Christmas.
Only is it not a Christmas song, but as far as I can tell, Nina Simone never recorded for Motown. This was on her album, Nina Simone Sings Ellington, which was on the Cole Pix label, which would become Cole Gems, the record label that brought us the Monkees, who also didn't record for Motown. But they refer to Nina Simone as the Motown great Nina Simone, and she never recorded anything for Motown. She was born in North Carolina, discovered singing in Atlantic City, New Jersey, not Detroit, and as far as I can tell, never had anything. She listened to some Motown, but never recorded. And I thought, that's an odd thing to put on a top Motown list. The other list was the top 10 gospel Christmas songs. This one wasn't as glaringly egregious, in my opinion. Take Six, Kirk Franklin were on the top of the list. It also featured a number of contemporary Christian artists. And there's a difference between contemporary Christian Christmas music and gospel.
Big time. Yeah. Contemporary Christian music typically uses maybe four, maybe five chords, simple melodies, often on repeat, whereas gospel is highly structured, very rhythmic, harmonies are very tight, and they use lots of thirds, sometimes sevenths in there. I mean, it's just, you really can't compare the two.
Yeah, yeah. The big difference between, you know, the Staples and Toby Mac or something like that.
Yeah. And this is where opinion certainly comes in, but they didn't have Whitney Houston's version of Joy to the World with the Georgia Mass Choir from The Preacher's Wife on this list. And I thought, okay, if you're going to have a top gospel Christmas list, how can that not be on there? And I mean, it's my opinion. And really, that's why so many of these kinds of lists are out there and why they exist. So I guess that's a good way for us to finally dig into the 80s list. Now, I ask you, and you keep in mind, and maybe even come up with your own if you disagree with our lists, but this is opinion. And I want to quickly run down and get both of your reaction to their top 10 list first. Number 10, Mannheim Steamroller, Deck the Halls. Number 9, Bruce Springsteen, Merry Christmas, Baby. Number 8, The Waitresses, Christmas Wrapping. Number 7, New Kids on the Block, Merry, Merry Christmas. Number 6, Dave Edmunds, Run, Rudolph, Run. Number 5, Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time. Number 4, Whitney Houston, Do You Hear What I Hear? Number 3, Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis. Number 2, Hall & Oates, Jingle Bell Rock. And number 1, Wham, Last Christmas. Jerry, your reaction?
So, okay, first of all, I love Mannheim Steamroller. I remember when I was in high school and we actually played Mannheim Steamroller in band, you know, and I had the fun part of like the bass line, ba-bum, ba-bum, over and over again. But it's, as much as I personally love that song, it does not belong on a top 10 80s Christmas song list. And don't get me wrong, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend any Mannheim Steamroller lovers, because like I said, I'm with you. I love Mannheim Steamroller, but there are so many better ones out there that it just is odd. And the Springsteen, I actually prefer his Santa Claus is Coming to Town to Merry Christmas, Baby. I thought that was just a weird choice. And New Kids on the Block, no, I mean, it's a fun little, you know, little album to listen to, you know, when I was little and all the girls loved it. But nowadays, it doesn't really hold up very well. Sorry to Kim Cooper, who I know did New Kids on the Block with me, episode with me. But it doesn't hold up. Again, there's like odd choices here that just don't belong on this list.
Yeah, and New Kids on the Block, that was kind of the deal breaker for me. Well, and they included Wonderful Christmas Time, which came out in 79.
Yeah. Right?
And that just kind of stuck out to me.
Now they're playing by my rules.
It's 80s adjacent.
If you're going to do like an 80s list, like make sure it's in the 80s, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, my issues with this list, first was the Paul McCartney thing, came out for Christmas 1979. The other thing was that three of the songs out of this top 10 all come from the very special Christmas album, the first one. And it's almost like they're using that sort of as a reference for the 80s. And with the choices they made, I just feel like, okay, Pretenders, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. You Too, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. John Cougar Mellencamp, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. The Eurythmics, Winter Wonderland. All four of those I would put ahead of the choices they made.
Wait.
But I wouldn't put them in the top 10.
Yeah, I feel I think you're right. I think that's exactly what they did. I think they just started with that album, said, oh, I recognize that name. I recognize that name. And just started Googling, like, what other Christmas 80s things were there? And just started picking and choosing. It's almost like they hadn't heard all of them. Because there's, like, some really fantastic stuff out there that people, unfortunately, don't know about. But at the same time, it does feel very much like you just Googled 80s Christmas songs and they found artists that they recognized and put them on the list.
It felt like that to me. I was concerned that I was just being a Christmas music snob. I run the Sounds of Christmas station for a very long time, and Christmas music is something that it's my thing. And I just feel like if you're going to make a list like this, and there's no real... when they made this list, they put like a short paragraph about each one, but there's no evidence that either that they lived through the 80s and remember this, which I'm pretty sure that they didn't, or that they really knew what they were talking about, especially for Paul McCartney, where they talk about how it just all the instrumentation and everything just reeks of the 80s, because the truth is it reeks of the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, it's definitely pre-80s.
Well, I had asked both of you to come up with your list, and I came up with mine, and I'd like to kind of go around, each of us do our number 10, number 9, and so on, and see how different our lists are from this list, and what we each have to say to pick on each other about our choices.
I'm all for good-natured ribbing, so it's okay.
Hey, well, Jerry, since the 80s is sort of your domain, why don't you kick things off with your number 10?
All right, so this one is I remember hearing it growing up, but only a couple of times, and then I'd completely forgotten about it. And then I rediscovered it a couple of years ago as I was, again, doing research for my podcast. And it's We Three Kings by Book of Love. I actually really enjoy this one. It's a super 80s, the synths, the way that they use the tremolo on certain of their longest, bah, 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 bum, bum, bah, you know, and right there, they start to trill it a little bit with you can tell, the little keyboard tremolo wheel. And then it's a fun, weird synth pop version of We Three Kings, which is a song that doesn't get a ton of play nowadays. So I was really grateful to hear it. And some people might consider it more of a song for the Epiphany, you know, January 6th. But I think it's both. I think it's a Christmas song. And I really dig it. You know, Book of Love sends season's greetings.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Scott, you're number 10.
This is one of the songs that I picked that's in common with what they had. It's a song that for years I hated, but it's grown on me. And I actually went with Last Christmas by Wham. Arguably, it's one of the biggest Christmas songs to come out of the 80s. So I had to give it, you know, at least some attention just because of how big it is. Definitely not my favorite, but I did think it deserved a mention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a song that has grown on me as well. I look at it Same. Almost as like the diehard of Christmas music, because it's a song that has nothing to do with Christmas, but it takes place at Christmas.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, and it's one of those, you know, there's a handful of songs that you hear several times an hour. If you listen to the local radio station around Christmas time, that's one of them. And for years, I would not listen to it because it had just been overplayed so much. But, you know, I've softened on it. So I figured it was worth mentioning it.
And I'm right there with you. Spoiler alert, it might be coming up later for me. But yeah, I same thing. I didn't want to. I was like, oh, this song again. And now it's like, you know what? This is a fun song. I'll listen to it all the time.
Well, I'm sure I'll pay for this later by likening these two songs. But it's a little bit like Jingle Bells, because Jingle Bells isn't really a Christmas song, but we're so right. used to hearing it at Christmas time that it evokes that nostalgia, that sentiment of the holidays. And I think we're getting to the point where Last Christmas does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think you're right. Yeah.
For my number 10, I cheated and had a tie. I pared
it's okay.
this down.
It's okay. It's your show. You can, if you want to, you can.
That's true. I can have two or three songs for each one, but
that's right.
I had pared my list down again and again and again, and I ended up with 11 songs. Actually, that's a lie too, but we'll just start and pretend that there's only 11 right now, and then I'll explain later. But I couldn't get rid of either of these, so I thought I'll keep them both in. So at number 10, I've got The Fabulous Thunderbirds, Rockin' Winter Wonderland, and Foghat, All I Want for Christmas Is You. I feel like The Fabulous Thunderbirds, they were a big thing in the 80s, and poof, they're gone. They're still out there, and they're still doing stuff, but they put out, they were on this compilation, An Austin Rhythm and Blues Christmas, and they had this song and one other one, and it's largely instrumental of Winter Wonderland, but it's just really fun, and it's got that R&B rocking kind of thing to it, and it's a Christmas party.
Yeah.
The Foghat song is just a good rock Christmas song, and it's All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's not Mariah's song. It's not Vince Vance's song either. It's their own thing, and if you have your own radio station, make sure that you listen to it before you play it, because there's a couple versions and one of them has some words that you might not want to broadcast. So be careful of that. But I just love the feel of it, and I just think it's a great rockin' Christmas song.
Yeah. I really like the Fabulous Thunderbirds, but I agree, they were like there for a bit and then they just weren't.
Yeah.
And I don't know the history, all of it. I have never deep dived into them because I like their stuff, but I was never like, you know, a super fan. So I don't really know the history, but same thing. It was just all of a sudden they weren't there anymore. It was like, oh, yeah, I remember them. Yeah,
well, because they were so big for a short time. And they played at a local bar a few years ago. And I was like, holy cow, I had not thought of them in decades. And here they are playing 5 minutes up the road from me.
Nice.
And they have, I mean, they've continued to put out music. If you use, I was going to say Spotify, if you use whatever streaming service, you can check them out. If you remember the Fabulous Thunderbirds, or you think it's a cool name and you want to hear them, it's great. Texas R&B rock and roll. It's a lot of fun what they do. So there's my pitch for them, unpaid. But if you're in the Fabulous Thunderbirds and you think that was cool and you want to send me a little something, that's fine. Jerry, number 9.
Yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't mind if they sent you a little something. So yeah. My number 9. Okay, this is from a movie that I thought was so awesome when I saw it in the theaters. When I have gone back since, it's odd. It's like really two movies kind of smashed together into one. It's from 1985, Santa Claus the Movie. This is Sheena Easton singing It's Christmas All Over the World. I remember seeing this in the theater. I loved it. The song was so catchy. I was kind of heartbroken that I didn't hear it more on the radio at Christmas time. And it's just one that I have to listen to every year. I almost did pick one of the other songs sung, and it's not even really a song, but Making Toys from, with lyrics by Leslie Bercuse. But instead I went with this one. I think it's just, it's fun. It's a cool song. And just as soon as she says, it's Christmas all over the, oh man, it just, yeah, I feel the chills every time.
I love that song too. It's on my list a little higher up.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay. I don't feel so bad then.
Scott?
I went with one that up until a few years ago, virtually nobody had ever heard of, Shopping by Joseph Washington Jr. He was a guy who, I forget which city, he put out an album on a little private label press. And it's one that was kind of like legendary among Christmas collectors for years. And then Numero Uno put it out a few years back. And it is just a fantastic album. Honestly, when you listen to it, it sounds like each song he went in there and he had his band and they just kind of jammed while he made up lyrics. And it is just the coolest album. If you haven't heard it, you've got to, it's on YouTube. I know it's on other streaming services. Go ahead and look it up. Shopping was the lead single when they re-released the album. But when I finally got a copy of it, I played it so much that my now 10-year-old, it's one of the songs that she sings every year around Christmas time. So it's a fun song. It's a great album. I've actually seen original copies of it, and I've been really tempted to get it because it's one of the rarest things out there, but it's also just such a cool album. So it's one that more people really, you need to search it out. You need to hear it. It's got some just fantastic songs on there.
Who's the artist again?
Joseph Washington Jr.
I'll have to put that on my watch list.
I definitely don't know this one.
Yeah. it definitely deserves to be, if not rediscovered, then just flat out discovered by people.
My number 9 is John Anderson, Easier Said Than Done.
Oh, that's a good one. I might also have one from his album later.
John Anderson was the lead singer for Yes for most of the songs by Yes that you know. In the mid-80s, he put out a Christmas record called Three Ships, and it went in and out of print several times over the last 30-whatever years. But this was the lead single, and I just have such a vivid memory of it. I worked in a record store and it was on the cover of Billboard magazine before it came out, just a tease. This is coming this week. I was excited about it. We got the record in and played it. And this is the first track on side one. And it just instantly feels like Christmas. And it just, it evokes that for me. I hope it does for others who hear it. Maybe you had to be there in 1985. Maybe, I think it was 85. Maybe,
it was, yeah, 85.
Maybe you needed to, maybe you needed to experience it when it happened, but it just has that Christmas magic, at least for me. So that's my number 9. Moving up to number 8.
Good choice. All right. So for me, this one's from 1982. It was by a Christian singer, just singer-songwriter, Michael Card, and the song is Joseph's Song. Now, I heard this one first as a couple of guys at our church when I was in college. I was like still just getting to know the guitar kind of fairly okay, and they came out and they sang it. They sang the harmonies, they played guitar, and I thought it was like one of the coolest songs I'd ever heard. So I went out to go find this song. And luckily they had copies for me as well. They're like, here, you can have it. And it's one that I try to play whenever I can. It's fun. It's just, it's basically told from Joseph's point of view. Like, how can it be that this baby in my arms, is the son of God? I mean, it's just a real thought provoking song told from, Joseph's or possibly Joseph's point of view. So I really dug it. Yeah.
Michael Card, I'm not, do you know anything about him? I'm not familiar with him.
Mostly, I just know he's got a few albums, but mostly what I know about him is that he's just like a Christian singer-songwriter that did a lot of just, you know, few things here and there. I know he toured with John Michael Tabit, if you know John Michael Tabit.
I know the name, yeah.
For a bit, yeah. He's also another Catholic, well, he's Catholic, but he's a singer-songwriter. And both of them together, that's just kind of really acoustic stuff, a lot of just very folky influence. And so that's why they toured together. But as far as Michael Card himself, I'm not super knowledgeable on him. I just remember my experience when I heard the song and thought, man, this is a great song. You know, it's mostly just him on piano by himself, but it's fantastic. Yeah.
How about you, Scott? Number eight.
So when I made my list, I came up with a preliminary list and realized I didn't have any country music on there. And I really debated what to throw on. It came down to two I was picking between. I finally went with Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly Parton.
Good choice.
That's a good one.
It's a great song to begin with, but it's one that my daughters have just loved for years. So I had to go with Dolly.
I almost had a Dolly Parton song on my list. This week, she released the song A Smoky Mountain Christmas, which was actually, I think, around 1986 as part of that movie.
Yeah.
But it was never released. And the single was released this week.
I got to look that up.
For her ultimate deluxe version of her Christmas album that came out 2 years ago. So that's going to be on it when that comes out later this fall. So I almost put that on my list. And then I thought, okay, I'm just trying to show off here that, yeah, I'm putting this on my list because nobody could get this song before, but I've got it now. So I did not put Dolly on my list. She's done so much great Christmas music over the years.
I looked for that one for a while.
you couldn't even find lousy versions that people had recorded off the VHS tape or something. I was kind of excited when I saw that this was not only going to be on this upcoming album, but that she released it now. So it's already out there, and not a lot of Christmas music gets released in August. So that was kind of exciting. No. My number eight is a duet, Leon Redbone and Dr. John, Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, that's a
very fun, cool New Orleans romp through the song that everybody knows. It makes me laugh every time I see Elf and Leon is the snowman. And I always think back to the song.
I might be mentioning it later.
it's a great one. I was saying this one was really hard because I had a really difficult time choosing and paring it down, like I'm sure you do. And so it's on my list of honorable mentions. It's like somewhere 11 through 20. I just not quite for me up in the top 10, but that's a great song, especially when Dr. John comes in with his raspy voice.
And, yeah,
it's just great.
Number seven, Jerry.
So this one, I actually, I agreed with one of the songs from their list. I went with Jingle Bell Rock by Hall & Oates. I've always been a huge Hall & Oates fan. I got to see them in concert when they were touring with Chicago, and it was pouring down rain. I was like just where the covered area of the pavilion ends. So I was poured on. I put my cap way down low and put my collar up and just kind of shivered as I jammed out to I Can't Go for That. But this song just reminds me of like all the reasons why I love Hall & Oates. You know, it's Hall's smooth vocals, Oates' guitar, just everything about it is so fun. It's upbeat. I think I actually, as much as I like the original, I think I actually prefer it to the original. And I know that might be a heresy, but it's just, I just really dig Hall & Oates and their style. And it's, you know, because it's still that 50s kind of style, but with a little bit of, I don't know, 80s, late 70s funk added to it. So I really kind of dig this particular version.
Yeah, I think
I might mention that later too.
Nice. Okay, good. Again, I don't feel so bad.
A lot of people, especially anybody who grew up in the 80s, I think that's the definitive version of Jingle Bell Rock for a lot of people. It was in the early or the yeah. early days of MTV, so a lot of us saw that video. A lot of us had the 45, which was really cool because Daryl Hall sang on one side and John Oates sang on the flip side, and it was was really neat. And it does, like you said, it captures the energy of the original, but it's for the time, it was a modern take on it, and it was really, it was Hall and Oates, and I think it's a great choice. Scott, number seven.
I went with Winter Wonderland by the Eurythmics.
Another great one.
Yeah, and that's one of those that back in the late 90s, early 2000s around here, the program manager at our station that at one point was starting Christmas music October 1st, she played the heck out of Winter Wonderland. And it became, you know, probably the one song from the very special Christmas album, other than one I'll mention later, that was, that's the one song on the album that I most identify with. So I had to include that one.
Well, and it's what's cool about that version is that the keyboards, they start to do almost like a Flight of the Bumblebee type, you know, riff where they go chromatically down, you know, to try to emulate that that wind blowing, you know, and it it really does feel like winter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I was so hoping that Annie Lennox's Christmas album would have been a little more like this song than it turned out, but not a bad album, but I was still hoping for something more along these lines.
My number seven is Mavis Staples' Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that's in my honorable mention. It's so good. I had a hard time not picking it.
You know, I looked at this and I was like, I'm overanalyzing it. Like, well, what are the rules? Because there was no single, there was no soundtrack for the Christmas Vacation movie. So to get the song, you would have had to wait for the VHS to come out and record it. And if you just, and there's two versions in the movie, there's at the beginning that has all the sound effects of the animated mm-hmm. Santa falling down the chimney, getting electrocuted, all those things, or you'd have to wait for the credits, otherwise that you didn't get it. So it wasn't a single and it wasn't on an album, and I wasn't sure that I could include it because it didn't really get released until later. And it's funny, I tried to do my own record label about 12, 13 years ago, and it was just Christmas music, and I was putting out a comp, and I was trying to get this song because it wasn't out there. You couldn't stream it, couldn't find it, and it was a song that was recorded on Prince's Paisley Park label, and at the time, late 80s, he was having a problem with people he didn't trust getting in and out of the vault. So he just locked everything up. And Christmas Vacation was one of those songs. And I couldn't get it. And it's not like I could just call Prince. I wish I could have. That would have been really cool. I'm just not that cool to be able to have done that.
That would have been super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me call Prince and I'll iron this out. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
For real.
So I couldn't get to it, but it's just a song that the movie's one of my family's favorites, and it's just a song that makes me smile, and it's Christmas time, and I think it has that effect for many people. So mainly it has that effect for me. So that's why I picked it.
Funny thing is, later when they actually did release the soundtrack, there was actually very little music from the special or from the movie on the soundtrack. In fact, one of them was from a completely different movie. I don't even remember what movie it's from, but it's not Angelo Badalamenti's score. And then a lot of it is just clips from the movie. Like, there's very little actual music on the soundtrack. It's the strangest thing.
Not a lot of people know this, but there was the soundtrack that you're referring to was a 10th anniversary thing that was supposedly made in a limited number for some theme park that was tied to Warner Brothers. but it was it was just a really well produced mass bootleg that went all over the place in such huge numbers that people thought it was the real thing. And the piece of music you're referring to was actually, I think, from Home Alone 2 that somehow got slapped on this thing.
Could have been, yeah.
And there were, and you're right, there were clips. It was a weird thing. There were clips from the movie.
Yeah.
It was just a just one of those weird Christmas things.
Now, see, I actually included Lindsey Buckingham's Holiday Road on one of my Christmas compilations.
Yeah, I throw it whenever on my 80s Christmas playlist, I throw that on there too.
You know, that's another one of those that I go back and forth on, because is it a Christmas song?
It's not, like, at all, but it's just, it's so connected closely with National Lampoon, you know, Chevy Chase's character, the Griswolds, that it's like, you could make the argument, but no, it's really not, no. But I throw it on there too, Scott.
but it's a fun song, and it's about going on a holiday. And So, yeah, I totally get that. Number six, Jerry.
So for me, it's The Greatest Gift of All by Dolly and Kenny.
Oh, nice.
You know, from A Christmas to Remember. They have a lot of great songs on there. In fact, the one that I think I most think of Christmas for is when they do that Winter Wonderland sleigh ride kind of
the medley. Yeah.
Right. But this one, I love the content just so much. You know, knowing you're in love with me is the greatest gift of all. It's just, it's sweet. It reminds me every time I see it of the special that the TV special that they came out with that was linked to the album to promote it. It's a strange thing. If you've never seen it, you feel like you have to just once. There's some weird, I don't know what they are, elvish, demonish things in there. It's the strangest thing. But this song in particular is just a fantastic song, and they go back and forth, and there's lots of key changes, so it's musically interesting. They keep it fresh every time the next verse comes in, like the key changes again. So it's Dolly wrote a fantastic song for that. It's
Well, and that's such a great album. It's hard to, you know, just pick one from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the songs that almost made it onto my list was With Bells On, Kenny and Dolly from that.
Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah. There are just so many good ones. Yeah.
Scott, number six.
So on the list that kind of sparked this episode, they had The Waitress's Christmas Wrapping from Z Records, A Christmas Record.
Yeah.
My as much as I love that song, my favorite song from that album is my number six, Christmas on Riverside Drive by August Darnell, also known as Kid Creole.
Yeah,
it's such a fantastic song, and it's one that I don't think I have ever heard it on the radio. I mean, not on the local station, not on Sirius, nothing. And it just it's just fantastic. If you haven't heard it, it's one you've got to look it up.
You know, in the
nice and funky, and just it's everything about it, and it kind of has a driving beat. Yeah, that's a great song.
In the early days of the Sounds of Christmas station, I was using Live 365, which is different than the Live 365 that exists today. But at the time, on their player, you could give a thumbs up or thumbs down to songs, and Christmas on Riverside Drive was one of the highest rated songs that we played those first few years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time I heard it, all I could think was, how could I have not heard this before now? Because it was probably, I think, early 2000s, the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
And it just, it blew me away.
Yeah. Because I think they released it on CD in 2001, something like that. It was pretty late. It was like a late comer.
My number six is Ann and Nancy Wilson, Here Is Christmas. And this is another one that I think that I went back and forth on, because this was just sent to radio. This wasn't an official release. They released it later, I think, as The Love Mongers and then as Heart. But in the late 80s, this just showed up as a CD single at the radio. And I just think it's great. It's one of the first songs I remember about that Christmas is coming, and there's a lot of noise about all the things that you need to do, but you know what? Christmas is still Christmas, and it's still, and it's here. And, yeah. And it's just, you know, over the shopping mall and the traffic and everything else, it's just a reminder that it's still Christmas. And I love their voices. It was just a great original song. I can't believe it wasn't a hit. That's a thread I don't want to pull at, because that's another
thing. Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's a terrific Christmas song, and I play the heck out of it. I play all of these a lot. It's my opinion, like triple meter.
You know, I saw that article, to write a successful Christmas song nowadays, it's got to be in 4. It's got to be in the key of C. There's like all these different things. But what I like about that one is that it's in a nice, like, you know, 6/8, just kind of this triple meter, just lilting. And there's a lot of classic Christmas songs or Christmas hymns and carols that are in 6/8. So it kind of hits that, you know, that vibe of when we were little and just like the olden times that I don't know. I agree. That's a good one.
Yeah. And I love that it, you know, it doesn't beat you over the head with a message. It's just, you know what? I know it's busy. I know it's hard. I know that things are crazy right now, but you know what? It's Christmas. It's just that simple, without, you know, without being preachy, without telling you what to do or anything. It's just, you know, just remember, you're looking for a parking space, but remember, it's Christmas. Number 5, Jerry.
All right. So mine is Little Drummer Boy by Joan Jett. And I actually had to just defend this on an episode I did recently, but I've always liked this song. It's fun. I remember hearing it, and it's just what's interesting about it is that it's the typical, you know, Little Drummer Boy, but it's got the palm muted guitar, so it's a little bit heavy. So that kind of satisfies some of my more rock sensibilities. But there's this cool section. It's like an interlude. And then at the end, again, where they go from the tonic, which is, we're in the key of C. So they go from the 1 chord to a flat 7 major chord. So like a B flat. It's not in the key. It's just like a typical thing that you hear in like rock and blues songs. And so it just adds a little extra, like, oh, that's interesting. And then they add the suspension above it. They suspend the 4th. So it's not, there's like no thirds in there. It's just, again, it's like this little bit of interest that they add. And so to me, that plus the fact that the drummer actually gets to do like some fills and, you know, fun stuff, it just I actually really enjoy this song. And I thought it was odd that it was really only included on like a first pressing, you know, when they released it in December, and then they took it off in later pressings, replaced it with a different song.
When I heard I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett's version, on our local rock station, and I went out and I bought that album, and I'm listening to it, and then all of a sudden there's Little Drummer Boy in the middle of this rock album.
yeah it's like, what?
Yeah, and I was like, wow, there's a little bit of buried treasure here. I had no idea this was coming up. This is so cool. And and you're right, and it disappeared. They pulled it off that. I don't remember if they replaced it or if they just took it away.
They did replace it. I don't recall off the top of my head what they replaced it with. But nowadays, of course, you can get both.
Yeah.
Like whenever they do the, you know, the streaming or the digital releases, it's both. But yeah, they did replace it with another song. I can't for the life of me remember what it was.
Scott, your number 5.
My number 5, Frosty the Snowman by Leon Redbone and Dr. John. This is the first one on my list that is, I mean, on top of how great the song is, this is the first one that is specifically on there because of MTV. I mean, how great is it that it's the song that got Leon Redbone regular airtime on MTV? Uh-huh. So just for that reason alone, it deserves to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
I remember when that CD arrived at the radio station and there was a little sticker on the front of it. Leon Redbone and Dr. John sing Frosty the Snowman. And I thought, no way. That just sounds amazing. I couldn't wait to hear
it. Right? And yeah, that's a good song.
It's really kind of funny that your number five was one we talked about, because my number five is Sheena Easton, It's Christmas All Over the World.
There we go.
I vividly remember being so excited about Santa Claus the movie, and I came out of the theater with this song and with the melody of Making Toys When the Elves Were Making Toys in my head. And I was able to get this record. This is another one that went out of print. And I think this song finally showed up on one of Sheena's greatest hits collections or something like that. But yeah, it's a terrific song. I think New Edition did a version of this too. But Sheena's is the one that I
know. I think Johnny Mathis actually did a version of it too.
Number four, Jerry?
Yeah. All right, so my number four is Santa Claus Is Coming to Town by Slade. It's just a fun song. You know, it's harder edged. It's kind of late 70s rockish, which is I love as well. And it's just aggressive but fun, but it's still that style that Berry Gordy kind of orchestrated for, you know, with the Funk Brothers back when the Jackson 5 did it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just sung by a very almost punkish, you know, group there.
Yeah, that was probably number 15 or 16 for me. I had to. I loved Slade.
Yeah, that's their. They don't get a same thing. It's a lot of these guys just don't get a lot of play, and there's so many good things out there. But yeah, it's fun.
And one of the really interesting things about Slade is that they're huge in the UK.
Right. What's so strange.
And almost
sometimes
unknown
it doesn't
here.
Transfer. Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. There's a lot of great acts out there that you just don't really ever hear about.
Scott, number four?
My number four is Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight by the Ramones.
Oh, another good choice.
Nice. And it's one of those that, you know, as soon as it gets to be, you know, really Christmas season, it's one of the first videos that I watch, for one of the first videos I put on YouTube. It's just one of those songs that it's gotten to the point that it's not Christmas around here unless I've played that a few times.
You know, I'm not sure exactly why, but 3-4 years ago, that song was one of the most requested songs for the Sounds of Christmas station. That I would get emails and messages on Facebook. Hey, can you play the Ramones? Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight.
I know it's been thrown into like several movies and TV shows. Yeah. And I don't think it fits a lot of the time when it gets used, but it's still a fantastic song.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was written for a comp, wasn't it? Wasn't it written for that Yulesville comp originally? And then they released it later on?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure. That's one of those that I just feel like has, you know, it's not that old, but I feel like that's one of those songs that has just always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just, I always know the Ramones have been there. I cheated on number four. I think the Ramones would appreciate that.
That's okay. I'm sure they'd like it. Yeah.
I sort of cheated. Number four is, for me, is Ray Charles, That Spirit of Christmas, or This Time of the Year, or Christmas in My Heart, all came from his Spirit of Christmas album.
Couldn't quite decide. Yeah, I gotcha.
That's such a great album. And most people just know, they play Rudolph on the radio, Ray Charles' version of Rudolph, and they play the song that I think it was That Spirit of Christmas that was in Christmas Vacation when Chevy Chase was watching...
Right.
Was watching the movies up in the attic.
The home movies, yeah. Yeah, but Christmas 59.
And there's lots of great covers that Ray does on this, but these three just really stand out for me. And I couldn't pick which one. And I thought, well, you know what? Sue me. I'm going to put them all in there. So.
See, I always forget that came out in the 80s. Anytime I think of that album, I'm thinking it's like something he put out in the 60s. And it
60s,
just,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's got such a fantastic classic sound to it.
Yeah, it really does. And I sort of feel like that almost disqualifies it from being on a top 10 Christmas songs of the 80s, because it doesn't sound like the 80s. But
well, and that's why, that's actually why I didn't pick, because there are some really fantastic country albums from Christmas from the 80s. But I didn't pick any of them because to me, they don't really sound 80s. But at the same time, I like, of course, they're from the 80s, so you can pick them. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, that is a, it's just a phenomenal album. But you're right, it does kind of sound like more classic. It does sound definitely much more 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was so surprised that it was an 80s album. I just don't remember. I don't remember it being on my radar when it came out in the 80s. And then later when I rediscovered it, that you listen to it and you feel like, well, this is just classic Ray Charles. What? It came out when? In the 80s? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, oh, Jerry.
All right. So I kind of, this is a, it's not really, but it's kind of a cheat. So for, I loved the movie Scrooged. And one of the songs found on the soundtrack is actually from the 70s, but it was re-recorded for the for this album. It was Christmas Must Be Tonight by Robbie Robertson, originally recorded by the band. But I love this version so much better. It's like it drives. There's like a backbeat rather than just, you know, the drum playing on, you know, 1, 2, 3. You know, just on beat three. Now there's actually a backbeat on 2 and 4. And it's just, I don't know. I really like this song. Son of a Carpenter, you know, Mary Followed the Light.
Now see, the original is one of my favorite songs ever. I love the band. They're, you know, one of my top probably 2 or 3 bands of all time. So yeah, I anything from the band I can listen to just nonstop.
That's cool. Yeah.
I loved the band's version of that when that came out, and I was really surprised when I got the Scrooge soundtrack and saw that was on there, because I didn't remember it in the movie.
No, I don't. In fact, I don't even think they actually play it in the movie. It's one of those, you know, just throw a bunch of songs on,
yeah,
call it a soundtrack. And
I thought they shot a scene where he passes Robbie Robertson and some people playing music on the street, but I think it got cut from the final version of the movie.
Could be, because I know there's a Miles Davis and Paul Schaefer and, you know, all those cats.
Yeah,
but I don't think Robbie Robertson was part of that. He could have been. I don't recall. But I wonder if they played it during the credits. They might have played it during the credits. But anyway, I remember loving the movie so much, I wanted to get the soundtrack. And when I did, I heard this song and I was like, yeah, I like this song. This is a great song.
Yeah. Scott, number three.
So I actually agree with a couple of the songs and placements of the other list. So my number three is Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC, which is the same number three on that list. not only does it come from, you know, a very special Christmas, but it's also from one of the best Christmas movies of the 80s. and honestly, this is, I think this is really the first really big Christmas rap song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know there were some that came before this, but honestly, I don't know that any really got the attention that this one got. And the video, I don't think I saw the video a whole lot on MTV, but it's got a fantastic video and it's just such a fun song.
You know, it's mm-hmm. funny when that very special Christmas album came out, and Jerry, I think we talked about this when we were doing that episode.
Yeah.
But when this album came out, in the radio station where I worked, there was a big sign in the control room that you could play any song from the very special Christmas except Run DMC. And it seemed like for radio, it seemed like that was just the thing for like 10 years. And then somehow the nostalgia of it came out and suddenly it's becoming more popular, and you hear it on your favorite Christmas music station. You hear it on Sirius. But when it first came out, it was one of those, and I don't know why, unless it was just that it just didn't fit the format of your easy listening station, because it doesn't. But
Right, right.
Wish I had taken that sign. That was funny.
That is strange. So that's another one that in South Texas we just didn't get play at all. I mean, I didn't even, it really didn't register much on my radar because I never heard it on the radio, you know. So it was like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, Christmas and Hollis, I'll skip it, you know. And now, of course, you hear it all the time and it's, yeah, you know, considered a classic. But yeah, I remember just not hearing it very much.
See, and I think we mostly heard it on BET at the time. I think that's mostly where we, you know, heard it and saw the video.
Right.
I do remember arguments back then, people saying, well, this isn't Christmas music. No, Argyle said it is.
My number three is Christmas Every Day by The Temptations. And this is a song that was also recorded by Smokey Robinson and The Miracles. Smokey. And I actually prefer their version. But I think their version was in the 70s, so I had to stick with the 80s. And they're both Motown. I'm not sure how it is that they each recorded this. I think it's a Smokey Robinson song, but it's just a very fun, and there's nothing about it that really says 80s. It does feel more like a 70s song, but it's just something fun and Christmassy about it, and especially when you hear the guy on bass, Christmas Every Day. I just love it.
Yeah. I remember I was in college and I remember it was after class and I went to the mall and they had the local record store, you know, the CD places and stuff in the mall. And I just remember digging through music and finding like this Motown Christmas album. And I thought, oh man, I love Christmas. And this was like, it had to be like in March or April. I was like, man, I wish it was Christmas now. So I went ahead and picked it up and I remember, you know, hearing the song, and I really did just love that song. It's a great song. It's so catchy, you know, baby, I'm in love with you. And if you love me too, it could be Christmas every day. I mean, yeah, that's cool. That's a nice lyric. Simple, but effective.
Number two, Jerry.
All right. We're getting to the top. Now, originally I had a tie, but I decided to break the tie right now as we're talking, mostly because we've kind of already talked about the other one. So it's going to be Last Christmas. Excuse me, Last Christmas. It's going to be, that's the one I'm dropping. It's Three Ships by John Anderson. I originally had those two. I couldn't decide which one I liked. But I'm definitively, it's going to be Three Ships by John Anderson. It's from that same album you talked about. I really enjoy the, again, he does the same thing where he changes key, and so he keeps it musically interesting. There's a lot of 80s synth nonsense in there, but it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's just really, really rhythmic. And it's a fun song. And I've always loved, you know, I saw Three Ships just because, again, it's in that triple meter, that 6/8. It's just kind of lilting and bouncing, you know, and I really enjoy his version.
And it's another song that doesn't get played a lot, not just his version, but really any. There just aren't a lot of, not as many covers of Three Ships as there are of almost anything
really
else.
And I liked when America did it because they changed it into a duple meter. You know, it's like in 4/4. So again, I thought that kept it musically interesting. But at the same time, even that version, nobody hears. So it's a
yeah.
But I really enjoy John Anderson. His voice is amazing back when he sang, you know, with Yes. And so I've always dug him as a musician. And so when he released this, I was like, yeah, I'm all in.
And another thing about that song versus a lot of the songs that we've mentioned, that sounds like the 80s when you hear that.
Totally.
Absolutely. <Yeah. laughs> Scott, how about your number two?
I went with Jingle Bell Rock by Hall & Oates. I saw them with Tears for Fears.
Okay, cool.
And
that's a great concert.
Yeah, well, and this is another one of those MTV inspired picks. I can't think of anything else MTV played more around Christmas than their video. And it just, you know, if you grew up then, it became one of those things that just you completely associate with Christmas. I mean, you had It's a Wonderful Life and you had Hall & Oates. So this has been, it's been the definitive version for me since 83 or so. Yeah, so this is, it's just one of the best 80s Christmas songs ever to come out of the decade.
Yeah, it's good.
I absolutely agree. My number two is Wilson Pickett, Silver Bells. This came from the Christmas Soul special, which had Wilson Pickett and Mary Wells. I think Benny King was on it. I guess this was a TV special. I don't remember it if it was. But this is such a cool version of Silver Bells. It's so different from what you usually hear. It has a really driving guitar. It has just Wilson Pickett's amazing energy in it. And it really completely remakes the song into a Wilson Pickett song. And it just, it's just one of those songs that gets me in the spirit every time, no matter what time of year it is. I hear Wilson Pickett's Silver Bells and I am there. It just has that for me. I don't know if either of you are familiar with this one.
I don't think I've
really
heard
anybody
it.
Listening.
I don't think I have either. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Is that, what did you say it was from?
It's from a comp called Christmas Soul Special.
Okay. No, I don't know.
I'll have to look that up.
Because I know there was a Motown, Christmas special in the 80s that's also very interesting to watch.
I don't remember it if it was a TV special. I don't remember. I just remember the album and that it was really cool and that I knew most of the names on there, and this, especially this version of Silver. He has another one. I think he did Jingle Bells on there also, but this one just was one of those rare songs that you know it, but it's also unlike anything you've heard before.
Yeah.
It's one of those you're listening to and you go, why do I know all the words to this song? And then it just hits you. Oh, because Wilson Pickett took Silver Bells into the shop and made it a Wilson Pickett song.
Nice.
All right. We're at the top of the list. Jerry, you're number one.
My number one. Drum roll, please. Drum roll. No. so it's a... It's Gabriel's Message by Sting. This is one that when I first heard it, I was just blown away. I remember just like, how could someone make music like that? Because there's all the different parts. It's almost like a madrigal in a weird way, but it's also got like the synth underneath it, very lightly, just kind of doing the, you know, just eighth notes. And so that, and then just the layering upon layering of the vocals, and just everything about Sting. I mean, you can tell there's like a ton of reverb in there. He's trying to make it sound like he's in a concert hall. I really, really enjoyed this. And so this was actually, I think, a B-side on a single from his Russians album. And then they put it on A Very Special Christmas. And it was, I've loved it ever since. And then Jars of Clay tried to redo it, and wasn't quite as good. It's still a great arrangement because it's Sting's arrangement, but it just wasn't quite as good. So this, well, not the super 80s here. It's just, I gotta pick it as my favorite of the decade. Yeah,
that's fair. I remember when that album came out and I knew Sting was on it, I was really excited. Loved The Police, loved his Dream of the Blue Turtles album. It was very jazzy.
Yeah.
Departure from the rock stuff he did with The Police. So I didn't know what to expect. And that's not what I was expecting, certainly.
No.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just completely different from anything that I knew of Sting up to that point.
Right.
Just wasn't prepared for it. And it does really stand out on that album.
It does. It doesn't really sound like anything else on it. Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, your number one?
My all-time favorite 80s Christmas song is Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You by Billy Squire.
Yeah.
Good choice.
On top of it being a great song, it was the first MTV Christmas video. It's, you know, the first album I listen to every Christmas is John Denver and the Muppets. The first video I watch is Billy Squier. I mean, oddly, that's one of the few contemporary rock Christmas songs that we would hear around here back in the 80s. Didn't hear it a lot, but it at least got some airplay. Yeah, so that's one that it's been one of my favorites ever since I first heard it. So I had to go with that in the top spot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm going to show just how old I am. Because when that song came out, we used to, when I say we, old people like me, would be waiting at our stereos with a cassette in the player and our fingers on the record button. And when your song came on, you would hit record and then you'd have the song you wanted. And I remember waiting for that to come on. And there's just a little bit of audience. You hear that applause just before he starts to sing. So I would just be waiting for my rock station to play that. And I'd hear applause and I'd hit record. And then it would be Santa Claus is coming to town again. Springsteen, like, oh, come on.
fooled you.
Yeah.
Well, and the worst part of doing that was if you had the DJ who would talk over the end of the song.
Oh, yeah. I hated that.
Yeah.
Trying to record a song and it just ruins it all. Mm-hmm.
All right. My number one, I found this song in a record shop in the Christmas 45s one year, 82 or 83. Never heard of this band. But I was buying Christmas music, and so I bought this single, and I just love it. It's Christmas is Coming by the Paolas. And judging by the silence, neither of you know that song.
I think I've got a download of that. I can't think of it at the moment, though. I'm pretty sure I have it, though.
I got it. That's a new one to me, yeah.
I wore this record out, and I didn't know anything about the band. But I was instantly a fan. They put out one more album after this where they were known as Paul Hyde and the Paolas. And then I think they all went their separate ways, which really bummed me out because I was like, come on, I just discovered you guys. But this is such a great 80s band rock song that I felt like was for me because it's telling you that it's been a long year, but Christmas is coming and it's nearly here. And it's that kind of message. And I was like, yeah, it has been a long year. Thanks. Thanks for understanding that. And I just love that. And I just felt like this is a song for me. These guys know. And I just like, that's terrific. And Christmas is Coming by the Paolas has shown up on 80s rock comps off and on over the last 10, 20 years, which is I'm glad to see a lot of streaming services. If you look for the band, the Paolas, this may be the only thing you'll find, but that's cool. It's a good song. Yeah. So that's my number. That's unapologetically my number one Christmas song that nobody else knows.
That's awesome. I mean, there were a lot that I had to whittle down here. Like I wanted to include Another Lonely Christmas by Prince, and there's a version of, it's called Christmas Time by the Chris Stamey the Decibels,
yeah,
or the DBs, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Dead by Christmas by Hanoi Rocks is another one that I just really love. It's just so fun and up tempo and quirky, but it's like it was really hard to cut some of these.
Yeah, I had a tough time too. I wanted to include Thanks for Christmas by XTC.
Yep.
I wanted to include Queen.
Thank God It's Christmas.
Thank God It's Christmas, yeah. I thought about 2,000 Miles from the Pretenders, but that probably wouldn't have been in my top 20, but it's a good one and I wanted to include it. But it was hard to pare it down. And I intentionally didn't use their list, not because I thought everything was wrong. I was just trying to I just felt like putting in the 70s song tainted their whole list. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to call it an 80s list, it's an 80s list.
Yeah.
Going back to their list for just a second, Dave Edmunds. Do you guys know Dave Edmunds, Run Rudolph Run?
I've heard it. Yeah. It's just standard run of the mill. There's nothing particularly exciting or interesting about it, and it's not very famous, so I was surprised they included it.
This is another one that I picked up as a 45 that I didn't know. Okay, for those listening, 45, that was a single record. But this was another one that I picked up, and I didn't know the Dave Edmunds band, and I knew the song, and I got it, and it was a good rock band version of Chuck Berry's song. I like Chuck's version better. I like Keith Richards' version better. Neither of those are 80s songs, though. It was one that it really stood out to me on their list as I don't know why this one's here. And it's no offense.
Which is,
Dave, if you're listening, it's no offense. I know it's a personal preference list anyway, and maybe they feel about this the way I feel about the Paolas. I don't know.
It could be.
Did you guys have any other? I thought you had extra lists or.
Oh, that's, I don't need to say mine. I was just, I'd made one because I wasn't sure if we were going to do, personal preference or if we were going for like what we think the most popular ones were or, so I'd made another list with like the most popular tracks that I thought probably should be on it. But honestly, I'm more interested in hearing Scott's list of Japanese Christmas songs that should be on there. But I did want to say that I did want to include, I left one off that I wanted to mention. All I Want for Christmas is World Peace by Timbuk 3.
Yeah. That's very 80s.
That's just another. And I think I really just like it because it mentions like Transformers and G.I. Joes and all the stuff I was into at the time. So,
you know what else is very 80s that none of us mentioned? Band-Aid. Do they know Band-Aid? It's Christmas?
I specifically did not include that just because if I was going to go for a big, mass release, it was that or Last Christmas. And I decided to go with Last Christmas.
Yeah, I have that one on my most popular list, but it's not a very good song. It's a weird structure for a song as well. They get to the chorus once, and then it just has like a bridge, and then it goes to like this weird vamp at the end. It's a strange song, and I know a lot of it was just because of last minute writing duties and trying to the headaches of organizing everything else. But it's not really a great song to me. But it helped a lot of people, so that's awesome.
Right. And it's very to me it's very 80s. Especially the long version where there's that section in the middle over the drum beat where they each give you their Christmas messages. So you hear hi, this is Bono, the singer for U2, because nobody knew who U2 was, so he had to identify.
Because nobody knows who Bono was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Scott, how about your
So I threw together just a quick top 10 list of 80s Japanese Christmas songs.
Nice.
Starting at the bottom, Silent Night by the band Nobody. It's just a really cool new wave song. 9, Christmas in the Air by Size from the Winter Lounge compilation. Another fun song. I Want to Give You a Wonderful Christmas Present by Akiko Kobayashi at number 8. Christmas in July by Hi-Fi Set, which was one of the highlights of, I think, my first Christmas in July episode. December 24th by Riko Kurahashi at number 6, which if you look up any City Pop Christmas playlists on YouTube, that's probably going to be like one of the top 3 songs in the list. Special Delivery by Maria Takeuchi at number 5, which is one of my favorite Japanese Christmas songs. Number 4, Pearl White Eve by Seiko Matsuda, which is, it was one of the bigger Japanese Christmas hits. And then the top 3 are 3 of the biggest Japanese Christmas songs. 3, Merry Christmas in Summer by the Kawada Band. Number two, Kobe Doga Santa Claus, or My Lover is Santa Claus by Yumi Matsutoya. And then, of course, number one, the absolute biggest Japanese Christmas song, Christmas Eve by Tatsuro Yamashita. Came out in 1983. Didn't do much until 1989 when they used it for a Japan Rail commercial. And it's become just one of the biggest songs in Japan since then. It's essentially the Japanese White Christmas. So,
oh wow.
I believe most of these you can find on YouTube if you're interested in hearing them.
That was going to be my question.
I've covered several of them. There's a few I've not gotten to yet, but at some point I plan on several decade specific episodes where I just pick singles and songs from various albums to just throw together for a themed episode.
Nice.
So sooner or later, I'll be covering all of these.
So people who are listening to this are probably thinking, hey, those two guys are really smart and they sound great. How can I find their podcast? So Jerry, how can everybody find Totally Rad Christmas?
So I'm everywhere you can that you get podcasts. I do have a Twitter at Rad Christmas, and then I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas. I also have a Facebook group, Totally Rad Christmas Mall and Arcade, where you can post anything and everything 80s or Christmas related. And I have a website, totallyradchristmas.com. So if you'd rather just go there and listen to them there, you can do that too.
And Scott, how about you?
All right. My podcast is Holly Jolly Xmasu. You can find me, I believe, on all the major podcast streaming platforms. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So just look me up. I post links to my episodes and then various pictures of various albums from my personal collection. So if you're interested in finding some music that you won't hear anywhere else, you can listen to my podcast and check out my various social media feeds.
Very cool. Thank you both for spending so much time going through all of these preference lists of our favorite 80s songs.
No problem. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And now I want to hear the payolas.
Yeah, you should. Thanks so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page with most, if not all, of the sites that stream our podcast. So you can find your favorite and subscribe, and then you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.